Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Hi. Thank you, Pastor Lau. Thank you. I think a lot of people already know what my sharing will be, but the past has been really great to me. Before, I have a lot of sickness, then physical sickness, and I have ulcer. And then God heals me. And also, God, I lost job, and God blessed me a good job. And God is really great for me. And I remember one time that I was really sick on my bed, and the doctor doesn't even know what happened to me. I was so sick. And then I prayed to God and put the Bible next to my bed. And that night, I saw God was come to me, and I saw like a man. And then he touched me. And then after that touch, my life was totally changed. And then I talked to God and say, God, I really need you. I want to give my life to you. I was totally healed. And after that, God really blessed me. I keep listening to the CD and also study the Bible. And I got a relationship with God so close. I believe when we spend time with God and God come, and all the time that I spend closer to him and he touched me and he keep cleansing me and talk to me. And now I really totally heal, and God blessed me with so much blessing for my finance. And I have a good job, and I also had a good business. And I really now I know God also give me the love, the compassion to take care of other people. So I didn't have that before, but now God really give me the heart to love people. Every time I just see the children, I see the people like women, I see the homeless people, I just thinking about I want to help them. I want, because the God has blessed me so much, I want to bless others. And right now I can't believe that the God also give me so much blessing to my children. And my children doing so great at school. And I didn't even have time because I'm so busy for my work and take care of other people. But God take care of my business, take care of my children, take care of everything for me. And God is so great. And I just don't realize like how much blessing for me that I have the touch for God. And I keep telling all my friends over and over again, not just because I don't want to hide this, because God is real to me. God is real to me, and every day. And then sometimes I cry loud. I didn't know why. God, you're so good, and you're so beautiful. You're so lovely, and you're just so there for me. And he say, and I have so many testimony. I almost got an accident one time, and God also, just a few seconds, he pulled me out from the freeway. I think my son already got the testimony at the camp. I have million testimony for how great God is. God give us all this thing. We need to obey him and continuing to do God's work. I tell God that God use me for everything because my life is yours. Without you, I probably cannot survive. I have today, I want to continue to fire up myself. I want to help whatever I can do for the church, for the people, and for the kingdom of God. And I hope that someday I can help more. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Praise God. I like what Pastor Tyson wrote in the article for the newsletter, that Christianity is not about knowing what Jesus write, but knowing him personally. Christianity is not about following the law, but it's about relationship with God. So the message I'd like to share tonight is about relationship. The message I'm going to share tonight is one of the deep passion in my heart that I want people in the whole world, especially all the Christians in the world, to understand. And if you can understand this issue and you experience what I have experienced, you will understand my heart more, why I am like this. when you see something good, when you experience something good, you want to share with other people. And you know, and you know, and you know, even people give me $2 million, $10 million, I'm not going to give up on my commitment and my conviction about this issue. And this is about the Holy Spirit, about the third person of Godhead. We need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you know that the Father in heaven sits on the throne? The Lord Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father. But the Holy Spirit is working in the world today, in your life and in the church, and in the life of those apostles in the book of Acts. Is that right? We as Christians need to love the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit. Without Him, we can do nothing. Amen. If tonight I preach this message out of my own ability and my own human effort, it will be just a dead work. I want to preach from the Holy Spirit. I want to preach from the anointing of God, that the Holy Spirit of God is upon me, and preach the message to you. Everything we do in life, we depends on the Holy Spirit. Amen. So what I'd like to talk about tonight is the subject of the Holy Spirit. Many of you know that the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the Bible from the book of Genesis. In fact, from the book of Genesis chapter 1, talking about the Holy Spirit was hovering on the surface of the earth and changed the chaotic things on the earth to be in order. And after that first chapter of Genesis, the whole Bible talks about the Holy Spirit. The life of David, the life of Moses, the life of Joseph, the life of Jesus himself, the life of Paul, the life of Timothy, everyone in the Bible who was used by God in a mighty way was really anointed and used by the Spirit of the living God. And therefore, we are in the generation, and I believe we are in the last generation of the church. We are in the end time of the end times. I believe Jesus is coming back soon. I don't know how soon, but we will see. Maybe we may see Jesus come back in our lifetime. Amen. If the gospel is preached all over the world, we will see Jesus come back. Amen. So I would like to talk about Him, and we would like to talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is mentioned in a different ways in the Bible, and each symbol of the Holy Spirit gives us different kind of personality and ministry of the Holy Spirit, such as the Holy Spirit is mentioned as a dove, which talk about gentleness, talking about free will, that He will not force you to do anything. Tonight, the Holy Spirit will not force you to come out to be touched by Him. It's your own choice. He's a gentle person, that He will never force anybody. You need to come to Him out of your own free will. The Holy Spirit is also mentioned as a wind, the wind of the Holy Spirit, that He come in such a way that you don't know what's going to happen next. You just have to follow Him and flow with Him. He will guide you. He will lead you. And you just need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. In fact, God spoke to me a couple of days ago to tell the church that we are spiritual people. Everyone say spiritual people. I am a spiritual man, and you are spiritual men and women of God. Amen. Even though we are living in the physical body, even though we still need to go to work, we need to deal with a lot of physical things, writing the bill, pay the bill, check internet, check website, all these things, check email. We are living in the physical realm, but we are spiritual people because we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and we need to follow the Holy Spirit, and we need to be guided and filled and led by the Holy Spirit all the days of our life. So even though we're living in the physical world, but we need to be spiritual people, not carnal people who are following their own stomach and their own sense, their own physical sense. We follow the Holy Spirit, even though sometimes it may not make sense when we follow the Holy Spirit. Amen. I remember that when I told people in Thailand that we're going to give CD out for free, we don't sell, a lot of people laugh at me in Thailand. they think that I'm crazy to give CD for free. But that's what the Holy Spirit told me to do, so I need to follow the Holy Spirit. And now I got all the testimony of how people are so blessed by the CD all over Thailand. And it blesses my heart. Amen. So we follow the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is compared to the rains, to the water, living water. He gives us life. He gives us refreshing spirit. He gives us strength and healing. You know, the Holy Spirit is compared to the water, the healing water that will flow us and give us life and give us strength and heal us. But the Holy Spirit is also mentioned as the fire. The fire, when we talk about the fire, definitely in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit really show up in a tangible way, in the way that people can see the tangible or literal fire. I believe that nowadays in certain country or maybe in certain area of the world, people still see the fire of God, still see the literal fire come down like the time of Moses. But no matter he show up as a literal fire or not, the Bible mentioned the Holy Spirit or the presence of God as fire. And when he talk about the fire, that it links, that word links to many, many ministry of the Holy Spirit. I would like to read this scripture to you, which is mentioned by John the Baptist. I indeed baptize you with water or in water because of repentance. I read from Amplified Bible. That is because of your changing your minds for the better, heartily amending your way with abhorrence of your past sins. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, talking about Jesus Christ, whose sandals I am not worthy or fit to take off or carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fan or fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear out or clean his threshing floor, gather and store his wheat in his barn. But the chaff he will burn up with fire that cannot be put out. John the Baptist talking about baptism with fire, talking about the Holy Spirit and the fire of God, which means the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit that you can feel, you can sense on your skin, you can really recognize that he is there right now on you or in the room. It's a tangible presence of the Holy Spirit or the fire of God. And the fire of God is one of the very important aspect of the Christian life. I remember when I was saved many years ago, I was in a Baptist church and we learned about the life of Moses. How many people read the Bible, the book of Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, about the life of Moses? And the preacher talked about the life of Moses that is symbolic of the life of Christian. And I really appreciate what God showed me from the Bible. You remember that the Bible talk about Pharaoh. What is Pharaoh symbolic of? How many people know? Pharaoh put the Jews into slavery. Bow people to be slave. So Pharaoh is symbolic of Satan. Is that right? How about the army of Pharaoh? The army of Pharaoh is symbolic of the army of evil spirit and fallen angels. How about Moses himself? He is symbolic of Jesus Christ, the Savior or the Deliverer who comes and saves mankind from slavery to sin. Amen. How about the Jews or the Hebrews? They are compared to the children of God that were slaves to sin, were bound by the power of darkness and the power of hell. So the kingdom of Egypt is compared to the kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom of light is compared to the promised land, or the kingdom of heaven is the promised land. So God wants to take us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And then the children of Israel came out of Egypt by the will of God. How many people know what was the primary purpose of taking the Jews out of Egypt? What is the primary purpose? To go to the promised land? Yes or no? No. What is the primary purpose of God? To take them out of Egypt is to worship Him and to meet Him at the mountain. So the primary purpose of bringing people out of the kingdom of darkness is to have a personal relationship with God and to come and worship God and serve God and come into the presence of God. And the promised land or the blessing is a byproduct. Amen. Everyone say byproduct. If we as Christians looking for the blessing first, but not the presence of God or not relationship with the Holy Spirit or with Jesus Christ, then we are in trouble because we go the wrong direction. We need to seek to have relationship with Christ and with His Spirit. Amen. How about when the Jews walk through the Red Sea to the other side? What is symbolic of the Red Sea? Walking to the Red Sea is symbolic of water baptism. Amen. The whole story about the deliverance of the Hebrews out of Egypt into the promised land is symbolic of the Christian life, repentance, saved from the power of darkness, deliverer, Jesus Christ, died for our sin. Amen. Talking about killing the lamb, one lamb for each family, painting the blood on the doorpost, and that blood is symbolic of the blood of Jesus Christ that saved the whole family. Walking to the Red Sea, water baptism, and then worship God at the mountain. The mountain is symbolic of the presence of God or the church that we come together in the presence of God. And then the final outcome is the promised land or the blessing. But in order to take the promised land, we need to fight the spiritual warfare. Amen. So we need to fight with the good fight of faith. We need the name of Jesus. We need the word of God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to fight in unity together in the army of God. So I noticed that a lot of time when we listen to this kind of teaching, there's one big part that is missing. And that part is so important if you want to make... How many people know the food called Pad Thai? Raise your hand up. How many people like to eat Pad Thai? Okay. In order to make Pad Thai, you need to put some dry shrimp to have a good taste, and put some fish sauce and some noodle and a lot of stuff. So all the ingredients to make Pad Thai good. Amen. My wife knows how to make Pad Thai. And if we miss one ingredient of that dish or that food, the food will not be delicious. You will not want to eat again. And one of the ingredients of the whole story of Moses, of the deliverance of the children of Israel, walking through the desert or the wilderness into the promised land, one of the ingredients that most of the time people don't talk about it, but it's so important, not less than having Moses, not less than having the water come out from the rock on all this story. One of the part of the life of the children of Israel is the presence of the Holy Spirit, or the fire of God. Let me read this scripture, and I'm going to put into practical for you. Amen. Before I do that, before I read scripture, let me share with you first my personal experience. I got saved in 1981. We just got married for 1 year. We got saved. I got saved. She got saved. My wife got saved together. We went to an evangelical church. We studied the Bible. I was so hungry for the Word of God. I never missed church on Sunday. Every sermon, I would pull out a piece of paper, jot it down, wrote down everything that the pastor said, came back home. At that time, we did not have computers, so we used the typewriter to type everything that I learned into a piece of paper and photocopy and keep it in a file. I was so hungry for the Word of God. Anytime I read any book, I will make a summary of that book and put into the file, like a file called Church or the Holy Spirit or whatever. I really, really study the Bible a lot. I love the Word of God. And then we moved to Chanthaburi, east part of Thailand, and we became a pastor in a small Baptist church there, about 30 people. I was only 2 years old Christian, but God really used me to pastor that church. We began to teach the Bible. And I learned the Bible from the missionaries to American missionary couples taught us the Bible from the book of Genesis down. Every single verse in the Bible we learn and learn, we study from this Baptist missionary. And then at that time, I was really noticed something that we don't see miracle that much. We did not see miracle. We did not see people get delivered from problem, family problem. People get sick, but they're still sick. We kind of struggle and struggle. Why? Jesus said that you're going to have abundant life, life and life it more abundantly. Jesus talked about attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 10 to 14, talking about becoming like Christ. And I look at those scriptures, I think this is not true because it's impossible to become like Christ. It's impossible to be in abundant life. And then the Bible talks about changing from glory to glory to glory. I say it's impossible because I have not changed that much. I was still very short-tempered. I was very angry and I did not want to forgive anybody. And I was a pastor and I and Dad quarrel all the time at home. We had a fight all the time at home. Sometimes we were Christians. We love God. We study the Bible a lot, but we did not change that much. We just know the word. And I believe that some of you can identify with me. Until 1983, we were filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. Then we begin to notice the change in our preaching and teaching and evangelism, but still struggling. We did not change that much. We still struggling in our ministry. I remember when I started a church here in 1988, the first service, the first few years, the service was so dry. You don't feel the presence of God. And we struggled in our relationship. We came to the point that we almost got divorced in 1994. And I was a pastor in 1988 in America, starting the church. And by 1994, we got to the verge of divorce. I was very selfish. I was very angry. I was not very sensitive to my wife. And I really got depressed because the church struggled. People didn't get saved that much. We didn't see miracle that much. We really struggled. Got tired of the ministry. I got depressed sometime. I went to Thailand to have a pastoral meeting. I came back. I got more depressed because they said, your church didn't grow. So I got more depressed. And I felt very unworthy, very unsuccessful. 1995, I read the book called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. When I read that book, my eyes were open. I saw that what I lack is the relationship with the Holy Spirit. Right away when I came back to Seattle, I was reading in the airplane. So when I came back to Seattle, I told my secretary, let's book the ticket to go to Orlando. At that time, Pastor Benahin was in Orlando. I flew to Orlando. I went to meet Mickey Mouse a couple of days, and then I went to the meeting in the evening. So I shook hands with Mickey Mouse in the daytime. At nighttime, I went to the meeting, and it's a true story. Okay, so I went there, and Pastor Benahin lay hand on me. I felt like an electrical shock coming to my body, and I fell down. And after that day, I began to change, but I didn't understand. I began to change. I felt that my relationship with God was improved. Then I flew to Toronto. At that time, there were revival in Toronto. So I went to Toronto. I got touched again. I came back. I feel that something changed inside me again. And I began to realize that, oh, I really need to seek the Holy Spirit. By 1997, it's a slow process here. Okay, because no one taught me. I have to figure it out myself. I have to run around myself. No pastor taught me about this issue. So 1997, the Lord spoke to me. Go to the meeting in Portland, Oregon. You're going to be touched by the fire of God. So I went. I am Pastor Da and my mom. We were driving to Portland, Oregon. I could not understand the preaching at all. The preacher had a very thick South African accent. I could not understand. All of his teaching just passed over my head. I couldn't understand. But the only thing I knew at that time, I was waiting for him to say, come out, pastor, I'm going to lay hand on you. That's the only thing that I was waiting. I didn't understand what he was preaching about. So I was waiting until Friday morning. Then he said, all the pastor come out and lay hand on the pastor first. I was on the second in the line. I ran so fast. Second in the line. The first, I think it's a lady, maybe evangelist, but I was a second in the line. And he came and lay hand on me. And I just yield to God, yielded and fell to the ground. Suddenly, I felt the surge of power came upon me. And I sensed the touch of God. I began to laugh and laugh. And Pastor Da was close to me. She get up from the floor first. She looked at me. She said, my husband is gone. Something happened to him. She never saw that before in her life, that somebody laughed in the Holy Spirit. So I was laughing and laughing and drunk in the Holy Spirit. After that day, my faith went up. I began to understand about walking by faith. I began to understand about walking with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said to me, keep going back to learn about the file of God until you fully understand to be able to teach your church. So I kept going back from 1997, 1998, 1999, 2000, 2001, 2002, and I began to really understand the file of God by year 2004. It took me 7 years. Can you imagine? You are reaping the benefit of I flying $10,000 myself to go and learn and bring back to church. So don't miss it, okay? Hallelujah. The last time I went was last month, January. I went to the revival meeting again. I was touched by God. I was drunk in the Holy Spirit for almost an hour. Even the pastor called me out and lay hand on me in front of the TV program. And I came back. I told Pastor Da that, Da, I'm changed again. Something happened to me in that meeting. I'm really changed. I look back to 1995. From today to 1995. Now I understand the scripture. Now I see that what God promises, that we can have life and have it more abundantly, can happen in this lifetime. It's true. It's not just a theory. It's not just a hypothesis. But it can happen that we can have life and have it more abundantly. The Holy Spirit affects us in every single cell, every single thing in our life. Amen. Even how to eat, our physical body, the function, everything. Rarely get sick. In the past few months, everyone else gets sick from a big cold. I did not get sick. A lot of patients cough at me. And I didn't get sick because of the life, the Holy Spirit. The Bible says like this, the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead give life to your mortal body. So he give you life to fight with sickness. And now I understand that it's possible for us to become like Christ. Because like what Jenny shared a while ago, after God touched you, something changed on the inside of you. That you begin to have the mind of Christ. You start to think like Christ. The Bible that you read, the Bible that you study, the sermon that you listen becomes so real. In the past, when I listened to the sermon, I listened, good knowledge. Good knowledge. I like it. But now when I listen to the sermon, it's different. I don't say, good, I like it. I say, yeah, confirm in my heart because it already happened to me by the Holy Spirit. It's just a confirmation of the work of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. Amen. It's not just a theory that decorates my brain that, oh, it's good. But when I read, yeah, it's true because the Holy Spirit already worked on the inside of me and that already happened in me before because the Holy Spirit already has written the word into my heart. Amen. So it's so awesome. Now I understand when the Bible says you will be changed from glory to glory to glory to glory until you become like Christ by the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Now I understand that it's happening. That every time I got into the prayer line, every time I get touched by the Holy Spirit, lately I don't need to get into a prayer line because I can drink the Holy Spirit myself. Because I have been doing this for 8 years, 10 years now. So I know how to really hook up to the Holy Spirit. But every time the Holy Spirit touched me, something changed on the inside of me. Something changed that the pastor cannot even do it. The preacher cannot do anything to me. Only the Holy Spirit can do to me. And I'm really being changed from glory to glory to glory. And Pastor Da can be my witness that I have been changed by the fire or the Spirit of the living God. And it's so wonderful to become more and more like Christ in your heart, in your thoughts, in your mind, in your lifestyle. Amen. You love people more. So I believe that the end time church, if you study about the life of Moses and the life of the Hebrews that went out of Egypt, you can see that the fire of God or the presence of the Holy Spirit is totally and necessarily needed in the life of every Christian. Without the fire, without the Spirit of God, we will never go into the promised land. We will never enter the promised land. We need the fire of God. So, as I say, even you give me $10 million, I'm not going to change my message. I'm not going to stop moving in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because I know that this is necessary in the local church. When you come to the revival meeting, we should not be limited by time. Amen? That's why we start early today. Because we want to give room and time for the Holy Spirit to work. Now we're going to read scriptures about the life of Moses and the life of the Hebrews who came out from Egypt. And look at the scripture together. In Exodus chapter 3 verse 2, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed." The fire of God, or the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit, has something to do with the deliverance of the Jews and something to do with the calling and the anointing of a man of God into the ministry. If you read the history, the life history of many great ministers around the world, like Derek Prince or Hudson Taylor, if you read all their story, all these people were touched by the fire of God at certain time of their life, maybe in their own bedroom. Maybe in a meeting, something happened to them. They met the fire of God. They met the presence of the Holy Spirit. So the one thing that we need the fire of God in the church today is that He wants to anoint you. He wants to bring a calling of God into your life. The clear calling. When you met the fire of God, when you met Him, He come and anoint you. He come and change you and inject the passion to do something into your life, to be able to fulfill that vision. That day, God touched Moses and called him to be a deliverer. God may touch you today and call you to be a deliverer for your family, to your city, to your classroom, to your school. Amen. God will touch you and anoint you and call you into the ministry. Some way, somehow, God has a ministry for you to do. And the fire of God is related to the calling, to the ministry, and to the anointing or the grace for you to fulfill the mission that God called you to. I remember after I was touched by the fire of God and experienced all this, I believe God gave all of these experiences to me so that I will be able to help other people. After that, I become a, we call arsonist. You know the word arsonist means. A-R-S-E-N-I-S-T. I like to start fire. The most happy thing in my life is to put the fire. I tell you, when I see people get touched by fire, make me happy. I'm going to become an arsonist, and that's my calling. I'm called to be an arsonist, spiritual arsonist. I'm going to Thailand soon, and I have expectation. I already see the vision. I already see in my spirit that at that city in the east part of Thailand, next Friday, going to be explosion. The fire of God going to burn that city. Demons going to come out. People going to get healed. People going to get saved. Amen. That is my calling, is to spread the fire of God, is to help people to come out of religions and traditions. Amen. So when you got touched by the fire of God, God gonna grace you. God gonna give you favor and anointing to fulfill what God called you to do. Without His fire, you may not be able to get the job done. Amen. So that's what happened to Moses, and that can happen to you. You may not be Moses, you may not be Pastor Lau, but you can be a deliverer of a certain group of people in the world. Maybe young professional, maybe single, maybe for the youth group or something. God will use you for a specific group of people. So everyone say, anointing, calling, deliverer. Amen. Ministry. The fire of God is related to the ministry. In Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 to 22, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So you see that throughout that journey to the promised land, they need the fire of God. They need the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit. At that time, He came in the form of the cloud and the form of the fire. So the fire of God is not only related to anointing, ministry, and calling, but it's related to the leading of the Holy Spirit. God wants to lead you. God wants to guide you day by day. You are not guided by the letter of the law. You're guided by the Spirit of God. The letter of the law just to confirm what God speaks to you. Amen. You need to know the Bible. Don't take me wrong. We need to know the Bible. But we are guided by the living Spirit of God, not by just letter in the paper. We need to learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit. Amen. So when you are touched and filled with the fire of God, then you become a spiritual people. Then you will follow the Spirit of God. You will hear the voice of the Spirit of God every single day. What He wants you to do, what you should not say, what you should do, should not do, where you should go, where you should not go, what investment you should do, what investment you should not get involved with, what you need to do in your life. He is the guide. He will lead you and guide you. Holy Spirit, you will hear the voice of God more clearly. Amen. God will guide you in your examination. Final examination, so you can check A or B or C. And sometimes you think B, but God say A. No, B is wrong. You check A. Amen. God will guide. That's how I passed my board exam. I didn't read that much. I'm serious. I did not have time to read because I was a pastor, so God just guided me all the way. A, B, C, and then I got 86 percentile, and I passed the test without studying too much. Don't follow my way, though. This is not a good example. Anyway, God has grace for me. Amen. So we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. How many times, it just happened to me yesterday. I was driving in Bellevue, and I almost forgot to turn on the turning light into the Northeast 8. I forgot because I came out from the hospital, was tired. And suddenly, when I came to the green light, the Holy Spirit told me the police is in the back. And I looked back to the mirror, the police car. So I turned right away. Click, 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 turn left. I don't want to get a ticket. Amen. So God even tell you the police car is in your back, in the back of your car. Amen. God will guide your surgery, guide everything you do. He is leading you every single day. It's so wonderful to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Not only that, the Bible say in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 32 to 33, yet in spite of this word, you did not believe to the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place to pitch your tent. Who go before you? God. God will go out before you to search the right place to you, the right friend that you can associate with, in fire by night to show you. Everyone say show. Revelation. God will bring you revelation. The Holy Spirit will give you revelation about what you need to do. Amen. He knows the future. He knows where you should go and should do. So follow the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Guided by the Holy Spirit. To show you by what way you should go in the cloud of the day. Amen. So everyone say, guided by the Holy Spirit. Revelation. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 5, 24 to 26. And you said, surely the Lord our God has shown us His glory and His greatness, and we have heard His voice from the midst of the fire. The place that you can hear the voice of God more clearly is in the tangible presence of God. One minister taught me this. This is what he said to me. He's a more experienced minister. He said, Pastor Lau, if you want to know that that man's prophecy is from God or not, how do you judge besides looking at what he say is in the Bible or not? He said that you sense the presence of God. If there's no presence of God, that might come from the pizza last night or maybe pad thai last night. But you need to sense the presence of God. When the word of God come out prophetically from the mouth of a person, you can sense the presence of God. Amen. That's why we need to learn how to be sensitive to the presence of God. And in the tangible presence of God, God will speak to you. Amen. We need to learn how to hook up, how to be filled by the tangible fire of the Holy Spirit so that we can hear the voice of God. You can hear. The Bible says, have heard His voice from the midst of the fire. Amen. Amen. How many people want to hear the voice of God all the time? Be led by the voice of God. We need to be the people like John chapter 10 verse 10 say, my sheep hears my voice. We need to learn how to hear the voice of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 9 verse 3, therefore, understand today that the Lord your God is He who goes over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them who are them, the enemy, and bring them down before you, so you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly as the Lord has said to you. So the fire of God is not only about anointing, ministry, calling. It's not about only leading, guiding, the voice and the revelation of God. But the fire of God is about purging, burning, cleansing. I want to encourage you. All of us is under God's construction. Little by little. God cannot change us overnight. He can, but we cannot handle it. He changes little by little from glory to glory to glory. And this is my personal experiences. He wants us to become like Christ. He wants us to have more power and more character of Christ in our life. And the way He does it, number one, He put you in the church. Number two, He teaches you the Bible. And number three, He uses power, the fire of the Holy Spirit, to come in and purge and burn. You remember I read the scripture a while ago. His winnowing fan is in His hand, or His fork. He will thoroughly clear out and clean His threshing floor and gather and store His wheat in His barn. But the chaff, what is the chaff? Bad things. The things that God doesn't want in your life. He will burn up with fire that cannot be put out. My dear brother and sister, the fire of God is necessary ingredient of the church. Without the fire of God, the church will never become the bride of Christ or the glorious church. The fire of God come in, not only to anoint you, to give you the calling and ministry, not only to guide you, talk to you, and fill you up and become your guide, but He will also come in and clean up many things in our life little by little. There are so many things in our life that need to be cleaned up. I give you example. Tradition. Some of us grow up in the church tradition. What you say a while ago, 4 hours service, but 2 hours tradition. We need to get rid of tradition. God wants to get rid of the spirit of tradition. God wants to get rid of the spirit of religion. Spirit of religion is, I can do it myself. I don't need the power of God. I don't need the word of God. I don't need the Holy Spirit. I can be good by myself and start to look down on other people, start to put other people down. That is the spirit of religion, like the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. Amen. Not only that, God wants to get rid of demons in our life. There are so many kinds of demons that bound us and cause us not to be able to flourish in the kingdom of God. We need to come to God with the hunger and with the surrendering heart and say, God, you can burn anything that doesn't belong to you in my life. Get rid of them. Get rid of demon from my life. Get rid of depression. Get rid of pride and spirit of pride, spirit of religion, spirit of doubt, anything, spirit of stinginess and greediness and the love of the world, the love of money, gluttony, eat all the time. Anything that will cause us not to become like Christ. The fire of God come in and burn those things out one by one. Get rid of those. Not only that, he get rid of all the bondage and curses and sickness and anything that doesn't belong to the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise God, I kept my wife in the fire. Yesterday, she had blood check. All the number come out normal. Amen. She used to have abnormal number in the blood exam. But I kept her in the fire, burning all the bad things out of her. Amen. I know that to be in the fire right now in this time is not popular in Seattle. That is a price to pay. The price to pay is that because we are not popular, people would like to be in just a traditional kind of service. But when you move in the fire, somebody may get upset and leave the church. I tell you that I have two choices. Can I speak from my heart? I speak from my heart to you. By my flesh, I don't want to move in the fire because I scare a lot of people away from the church. And the church doesn't grow as quickly as I want to. There's a price to pay. But deep in my spirit, in my conviction, I need to. Because I don't want to keep my members to be in the same place for 20 years. I want to see them grow and change and move on. Amen. And I'd rather have 300 soldiers of Gideon that one day will shake the world than to have 30,000 people who don't do anything. Amen. It's sometimes against my own flesh because I know that this is not popular in Northwest area. It's going to be the day that this kind of church is going to be popular. This kind of church, people are going to like it because they find out that they can follow, they can study the word, they can go on to the church for 10 years, but they never change until they come and get touched by the fire of God. Their eyes open and say, like Dr. Lau many years ago, say, hey, I need the fire of God. I hope that that will happen in Northwest one day. And people will turn around and say, we need what Moses needed. We need the fire of God to get into the promised land. Amen. The fire came to burn bad things out of us. And once he burned the bad things, you know, when you put water and fill that bottle, you cannot put more water in. The same thing. If God doesn't get rid of the bad water out of you, he cannot put in more new things and more good things. Because it's so full inside. God come by the fire to burn out the bad things and he can start to put into new things. The things of God, faith, power, love, long-suffering, gentleness, all these good things can start to grow because the bad things come out, the bad junk go out, the good things come in. That's why you become like Christ from glory to glory to glory by the Holy Spirit. Yes, you need to know the Word of God. You need to study the Word of God. But the person that's going to change you to become like Christ is the Holy Spirit. From glory to glory to glory by the Holy Spirit. Amen. One day when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I will be able to stand before Jesus and say, Jesus, I have done my best in this church. Maybe we are not popular here. A lot of people may not like this style of the church that flow in the fire of God. But I have done my best and I present to you all of my members who are doing well, wealthy, strong, love God, on fire for God, serve God out of right motive. I present to you good people. Yesterday, when I told my doctor's friend, the general surgeon, that we don't have divorce in this church for many years and no counseling between husband and wife, no kids, have very rare case that we have problem in the church, he have a big eyes and say, how can that happen in your church? I never heard of. My church has a lot of divorce. My church has a lot of husband and wife quarrel and counseling again and again. And I was thinking in my heart, you need the fire of God. We need to kick demon out of your church. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I want to come to conclusion. Number one, I believe with all my heart from the scripture, the end time church cannot attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, cannot experience the promised land or the abundant life without the fire of God. Two, we need to keep the fire of God in the church until Jesus come back. We are not going to quench him. We are not going to stop moving in the Holy Spirit. How about personally? This is my determination as a pastor. But personally, I want to encourage all of you. You don't need to be perfect to be touched by the fire of God. It's so simple. The key is this. God, I am desperate. I know I'm still far away from being like Christ. God, I still struggle with many sins in my life. God, I really want to stop those sins. I want to change. I want to grow. I want to be used by you. I want to have more anointing. I want to be used in this generation. God, I'm hungry. I need to be changed. I know there are so many bad things in my life that need to get rid of by you, purged away by you. I'm hungry. I'm desperate, God. God, come and touch me. You can do anything, and I'm going to keep being touched by you until I become like Christ one day. It's about your heart. That your heart humble and say, I am not there yet. I have not arrived yet. And I know that only by your Holy Spirit, I will be changed from glory to glory to glory. This is not about falling. This is not about laughter. This is not about shaking and crying. It's not about physical manifestation. But it's about the internal change here that God touched you. It's about hunger on the inside. It's about yielding. It's about the determination to be changed, to be used of God. It's not like I just lay back and look warm and say, you know, I'm fine. I'm going to heaven. I'm a good Christian already. I go to church every Sunday and pay my tithe and I'm happy. No, it's about pressing in, pressing on. I want to become like Christ. I want to move forward. I want to move from glory to glory to glory. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty for the things of God. I want more anointing. I want to heal the sick. I want to cast out demons. I want to see more people saved. I want to see my village saved. I want to see my friends saved. Anoint me, Lord. Touch me. Use me, Lord. Like you did to Hudson Taylor. Like you did to Derek Prince. So many people in the world that used by God have been touched by the fire of God. It's your personal desire. I cannot get hungry for you. I cannot make a decision for you. You need to make a decision yourself and come and yield. And if you don't get touched a lot first time, keep coming back. Keep coming back. Get deeper, deeper, ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and eventually swim in the rivers. Go deeper and deeper and deeper. But every time you come to the prayer line, you say, I'm hungry. As I say that, I don't need to go to the prayer line that much anymore because I can just sit at the chair and I just get hungry myself. And the Holy Spirit just come upon me. I just, like this, just draw the living water from heaven. And the Holy Spirit come on me. One time when Kenneth Hagin came to City Church and he was walking around laying hand on people, about 1,500 people. This is about 5 years, 6 years ago before he died. He walked toward me and then he walked away. You remember this story I shared with you? He walked toward me and he walked away. And he said, no, no, this is not fair. You don't lay hand on me. You walk away from me. And the Holy Spirit told me, just do like this. Not smoking weed, okay? We just draw the anointing. This is not smoking weed. It's just draw the anointing. I just demonstrate. So I begin to, in my spirit, I just draw the anointing from this man. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit was poured on me. That day, and Pastor Caesar got drunk for an hour. I was the last one leaving the city church because I was so drunk, people had to carry me out because I was so hungry. I was so desperate. Amen. To be changed by the Spirit of the living God. Amen. And I want to keep being hungry like that for the rest of my life. Never enough. Amen. Want more of God. More of God. More of God. Change from glory to glory to glory. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people see yourself that there's something wrong in your life that God needs to get rid of, to take away? Do you see something? Some of you may have trouble loving people. You may love some loving people, but you don't like some unloving people. But that is not right. You need to love everybody. Some of you may not be patient. Some of you may have a habit called whining. Whine, whine, whine. And, you know, complain, complain, complain. God wants to get rid of you. Get rid of that from you. Not get rid of you. Get rid of that from you. I said it wrong. Get rid of whining habit from you. Amen. Some of you may have doubt. You cannot walk by faith. You always doubt God, doubt. Or some of you may need the touch of the Spirit so that when you read the Bible, you can understand more. One of the marvelous things about the touch of God is that your relationship with God is so deep. You kind of know Jesus in here that no one can explain to you. Jesus becomes so real to you. Do you know many times a day, even when I perform surgery, I start to talk to Jesus. Lord, I love you so much. I will do whatever you tell me to do. I loved you, Jesus. I loved you. I drive in a car in Bellevue. Sometimes I'm just driving and tears start to come out of me. I'm serious. I'm not lying. Tears start to come out and say, Jesus, I love you deep in my heart. I love you, Jesus. And I know this is not for me. By my nature, I should love Honolulu, Hawaii, and Waikiki Beach, Kona, all these things. But I just went to Orlando to Mickey Mouse last weekend. The whole time in Disney World, I was thinking about the church. I can't stop it until I had to call somebody. Hello, I miss all of you. You know, I couldn't, because I miss the church so much. I miss the body of Jesus so much. You know why? Because I love Jesus. Those things do not thrill me anymore. Yeah, I have fun. Don't take me wrong. I have fun. But it doesn't thrill me as much as I am in the church, because I love Jesus and I love the church so much. And I know all these things did not happen because of me, but because of the Holy Spirit, who is the hand in my body. I am like a glove that the hand of God or the Spirit of God is moving on the inside of me to love Jesus and to love the church and to love people. He's moving and moving. And sometimes I feel there's something moving on the inside of me to love and to just want to live my life for Jesus all the days of my life. And that's why the devil hates the fire of God. The devil doesn't want the fire of God, because he knows that if people get touched and get filled, they're going to love Jesus more. They're going to fall in love with Jesus. Amen. I know that the devil hates me and doesn't want me to do this. And he doesn't want people to come tonight. I have passion so much to see people get touched and changed and healed by God. And I want to give you hope. You may say that I still struggle with some issue in my life and struggle and struggle. My dear brother and sister, if you don't give up, keep walking by faith, keep getting touched by the Spirit of God, the day will come that you will be totally set free. Because I believe my God can do anything. There's nothing impossible with the Spirit of God. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Amen. He can change you. He can change you. He can touch you. And he can get rid of those things out of your life eventually. Don't give up. Sometimes God wants to test your patience. You know, the Bible says faith and patience. We need to be patient with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Pastor Da, you have any word to encourage them?
Just want to encourage all of us that God is a possible God and nothing is impossible for him. If we expect him, if we believe in what he promised to us, he will do and he will move. And my heart is so encouraged because I know that nothing is impossible for God. So I personally, I will press in. I will be patient. I will ask God to give me more faith to believe in him. And I know that God will perform. And in fact, today, Masako and I, we pray that every single one of us will be touched by the fire of God, will be touched by the presence of God. And it doesn't matter, some might be in the Sunday school room, the children might be in the Sunday school room, or they are doing something, you know, even in the outside, but in the premise of the church, they will not be escaped from the touch of God. They cannot escape from the presence of God. And I totally believe that when he touch us and when the presence of God is in our life, his power will deliver us from everything. Whatever that we need, God knows our need. We may not even know what we need, but he knows our need. And he will do, and he will purge anything that is not of him out. And he will put things of heaven into us. He will heal all of us from sickness. He will deliver us from bondage, change, any curse in our lives. He will do. Any problem that we are facing and it's still there all these years, he will come and touch us and take away. And definitely, you know, he will bless us. And the way God bless us is more than we can think of, more than we can imagine, more than we can ask, because we are human and we have limitation of our imagination and our thinking. But God has more power than that, because he is the Almighty God. I really believe for not only for me, my family, but I really believe for all of us. Today, Masako and I, we pray God will touch every single one of us. Amen.
You know, I want to thank God. One thing, that the fire of God healed our marriage. And our relationship is getting better every year. Yeah. So I want to thank God. Praise God. Amen. One more thing before I lay hand, God just remind me to share this. If you have experienced the fire of God and you know it's good, I really need your support to back me up, to be positive about this in our church. Lately, I have learned from listening to some people. I noticed that there are three reactions when people come to this kind of church. First reaction, they love it. People do not want to leave this kind of church because they love the fire of God. They want to be in the presence of God. The second reaction, people who come to church hate me. I'm serious. They hate me. I heard from a few members now that they stay. When they make decision, if they stay or they leave, they told me. When they first came to church, when Pastor Lau walked by, like this, like, I don't want to be close to this guy, hate me, and really kind of have an ugly feeling against me. And I want to tell you, it's not them. It's demon inside them. Demon hate the fire of God because they know that if I lay hand, they're going to have to leave. So they will make people to hate me. But these people who hate me, many people stay and eventually got delivered. But the worst thing is that these people come and sit here, and when they see God move through the door out there, you know who pulled that leg out? Demons. Demons hate the fire of God. So we need to really talk positive in the church about this issue to calm down the uneasy feeling of some guests who don't understand this. We need to speak the same language. It's good. Convince them. It's good for your life. Like what happened to Jane, that Nui convinced her that keep coming. It's good for your life. And now she is set free, you see. But the first time she was kind of scared. I understand. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So we need to be positive together. Amen. Father, send your fire. Send the tangible, the Holy Spirit upon them, Lord. Feel right now, Jesus' mighty name. Touch them, Father. Fill them, Lord, right now. Fill them. In Jesus' mighty name. Jane. Hallelujah. Kunan. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Father, touch. Touch her, Father. Touch. Touch. Touch her, Father. Touch. Touch. Yes, Lord. Fill them, Father. Fill everyone. Fill the hungry heart, Father. Yes, Lord. Fill. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Touch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So take me.
Hallelujah. Touch. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Feel.
Take me.
Feel. 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 Feel.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.